Hello and welcome to Euractiv's Agri-Food Podcast. I'm Julia Dam.
And I'm Gerardo Fortuna.
And here's your weekly update on all things agriculture and food in the EU from Euractiv's Agri-Food team.
So, good day to our listeners and welcome to the podcast. As you might have heard, the podcast soul, Natasha, she's not with us. I was actually about to do a joke saying something like she decided to leave Euractiv and we wish her all the best. No?
That would have been too brutal.
But yeah.
Can you imagine it? Like her reaction. Or something like that.
Well, I mean, it's can you imagine her reaction if I would have continued the joke? But no, don't worry. Of course, Natasha is just off this week for some reporting she's doing in Greece. And she will come back next Friday. This is actually the first time she misses the
Agri-Food
in 89 episodes. Yeah, actually, at the very beginning, the podcast was something just for Natasha. You know? She had just arrived at Euractiv, and the podcast was basically her reading out the newsletter. But yeah, we can do a trip down the memory lane of the podcast, maybe for the episode number 100.
It's coming up soonish.
Soonish, yeah, indeed. And also, I mean, Natasha was also really scared that we wouldn't have mentioned her at all.
We won't forget her. We can't just not address the big gap that we have.
Of course. I mean, imagine I tweeted this brilliant online game in which you're basically a Ukrainian farmer who have to steal Russian tanks and bring them in the stable. And I said, who posts the highest score will get a mention in the podcast. And she started playing it just to be granted the right to be named. Yeah, don't worry, Natasha. Of course, we miss you and we wait for you. By the way, our winner is an old acquaintance of the podcast. Sam Morgan, a well-known Brussels-based journalist. We hosted him 2 years ago, when he was editor at Euractiv. We had a chat, and he scored 12. To be fair, I scored 21. But
so you should mention yourself.
Have you played, Julia? No.
No.
You should. I mean, instead of working, you should.
I was waiting till after the podcast so I didn't have to share my score in case it's embarrassing.
No. I'm quite confident in a good performance of yours. So don't worry. I mean, yeah, I have to admit that 21 is quite a high score.
You'd be a good Ukrainian farmer.
Yeah. So, I mean, since it's already 3 minutes since the beginning and we haven't said anything yet, I take the opportunity to do public apology because I said something similar in a Twitter chat last month, saying who writes the funniest tweet will be mentioned in the podcast, and I didn't mention anything. So, and this was flagged out by two listeners. I was at this forum of agriculture. We're gonna talk about that later. And two listeners who work for the think tank Farm Europe, who joined the Twitter chat at that time. And actually, they did say something really funny because our colleague doing communication made a tiny mistake saying at the end of the Twitter chat, follow our journalists. And instead of putting Gerardo Fortuna and Natasha Foot, she put me twice. And the Farm Europe account says something like, follow also Natasha Foot if you already follow Gerardo twice. So, I mean, big shout to Farm Europe and to Sabolch and Giacomo. And now we can start.
All right, let's dive in.
Into the serious stuff. No?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and serious indeed, because I think we're going to talk about some serious clashes in the bubble this week.
That's the keyword of this week. I mean, clashes, as you said. There was a first clash already on Tuesday on the occasion of the Forum for the Future of Agriculture. I was mentioning it before, which is a major appointment in Brussels. It's a conference perceived as industry oriented. It's supported by big company like Syngenta and trade organization like the European Landowner Association. There are also NGOs involved among the support, like WWF. But this year there was a protest organized by Agriculture, Environmental and International Solidarity organizations saying that the FFA is a greenwashing event aimed at strengthening the influence of the chemical and agri-food industry on public policies. Several members of the commission were present at the event. Stella Kyriakides, the commissioner for food and health, food safety and health, Wojciechowski, Timmermans, the vice president of the commission tasked with the Green Deal implementation, was supposed to be there, but he got COVID. And while they were speaking outside the conference center, there was this symbolic action and even a counter buffet. So it was
well organized. That's the big bringing out the big gear.
Of course, you have to play the right cards. I mean, you have to fight your opponents.
That's actually quite genius, I have to say.
Indeed. And it was also the choice of the buffet was particular because it was something grown by a local producer. So, but this gives you a bit the taste. I mean, of course, the taste, but also the taste of the current contraposition on sustainability, which is a bit. It's quite similar to what was happening. In the years of the negotiation between the Commission, the Council, and the Parliament on the Common Agricultural Policy revision, and also on the Farm to Fork strategy, so we know that there's this this topic that put industry, NGOs, politicians, stakeholders. Against and it's basically and are basically the aspects related to the sustainability in the agriculture. Again, we remember the debate around the eco schemes and the green ambition in the CAP. But there was another clash this week, Julia, basically on the same topic.
I mean, we've talked about this a lot in our articles and also in the podcast last week about this whole debate about suspending farm-to-fork goals in the face of the Ukraine war and the crisis and the upheaval on markets that it could cause. And this reverberated on the European Parliament this week, where we had a clash between the Agriculture Committee, so Comagri for short, and the Environment Committee called ENVI. So last week, the majority groups in the Parliament's Agri Committee wrote a letter to Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski, basically asking to relax certain sustainability aspects of the EU law for the sake of food security in the face of the current situation. And the Agriculture Committee MEPs called on the Commission, for example, to grant more flexibility for increasing the acreage of lands under production and for importing crucial commodities from third countries. And also to temporarily allow the use of plant protection products, I quote, where effective on those ecological focus areas, which are suitable for growing protein crops during the duration of the crisis. But this letter received some harsh criticism from the Greens and the left in the parliament, who are pushing not to overlook sustainability aspects of the EU's agri-food policy. So this Wednesday came the counter strike, so to speak, when a majority of the ENVI coordinators wrote a letter to Timmermans, where they asked not to hold off any future legislative proposal for a framework for a sustainable food system, saying that this was now more pertinent than ever. And they wrote, pursuing the objectives of the farm-to-fork strategy within the European Green Deal is the way forward, and called on the Commission to resist the push from some member states and also stakeholders to postpone forthcoming proposals for revising EU legislation on pesticides and on nature restoration targets.
It's a bit of the eternal fight between the MV committee. I remember in the past legislative mandate, rivalry was more between MV committee and ITRE committee, so the industry committee, because it was the clean energy package. But the clean energy package was so not controversial, but I mean, it triggers a lot of reaction and stance and, you know, positions. Or, but it's already been overcome by the Fit for 55 and the Green Deal. So this is just to again give you again the taste of how quick the debates evolve in the Brussels bubble, and how quick actually a debate could evolve because of an external event like the Ukrainian war. There was the debate around the food security, if it was still a topic worth of discussion at EU level. But Ukrainian war, the war in Ukraine and the disruption, let's say the knock-on effects on the EU food supply, but also international food supply chains, has basically changed the completely turned upside down the debate. So now we're having stakeholders, politicians taking clear stances, because in the first few weeks there was a bit of uncertainty. I wasn't sure how long this invasion would have lasted. And as I said, the first 2 weeks, we haven't seen a lot of position. Just to mention an example, the EU lobby, the EU farmers lobby, Kovacogeca, before an interview that we did last week with their Secretary General, Pekka Pesonen, they didn't release any position. I mean, they were very cautious in understanding first the implication. And now, Julia, you also wrote about it last week. There are emerging, the two sides are emerging, the one that wants to preserve the Green Deal ambition, and the one that want at least to suspend. German agriculture minister is actually among the one they want to preserve.
Yeah, he's voiced quite strong opinions about it, also repeatedly. I also think this kind of discussion picking up on the, say, a week or two after the start of the war was a bit of a question of tone. It's better people didn't want to jump into making demands immediately after. Yeah, German agriculture minister has been quite the open voice against suspending any environmental targets.
It's also delicate topic, because I mean, it's there's the tragedy of a war currently raging on in Ukraine. So, for instance, I was collecting the position of stakeholders on the latest package of sanctions that is affecting some food products, actually luxury product like wine for bottle. That cost us actually more than 300 euro. So luxury wine, and the same for spirits. And the reaction from the stakeholder is that, I mean, there will be an impact, but at the same time, it's for a good cause, no? So it's even difficult to, from the communication point of view, to move into this very tragic context, no?
Yeah, and you can definitely feel that everyone's kind of tiptoeing a bit and really considering what they want to say and how they want to say it.
Indeed.
Which is probably good.
Yeah. Considering the how delicate is the situation, at the same time, we of course have you know, something is moving on. There was the European Council, the informal European Council last week. There will be another one, official one, next week in Brussels, together with the NATO summit. So again, even at the outside the EU agri-food bubble, the topic of food security is becoming more and more important. Just to make an example, French President Emmanuel Macron, on Thursday evening, he presented his election program, and he said he wants to reopen discussions on the EU farm to fork strategy because of a profound food crisis that are expected, particularly outside Europe, and have to be dealt with. The reference is, of course, into North Africa. This is also a geopolitical issue because, I mean, there's this news that rumor that China is collecting food ready to be to offer its aid to African countries that will face food shortages because they're heavily dependent from Ukraine and Russia, particularly cereals. So even from the point of view of from the geopolitical point of view, food and the production capacity could become a geopolitical weapon, particularly to counter attack any Chinese action, for instance. But at the same time, it's not only something happening at the farm-to-fork level, let's say, but also at the common agricultural policy level, because some countries are pushing to, let's say, redirect, particularly the eco scheme aspects, so the greening of the farming and the provisions dealing with some, for instance, non-productive areas, and for instance, there's the push on insisting more on protein crops. This is something that will be discussed next week by the ministers. But in general, Julia, there are some feedback from the member states on how to redirect CAP.
Yeah, I mean, two member states have actually come forth this week and kind of put on the table the option that they could basically unilaterally change their CAP strategic plans. So just to recap, the national strategic plans are one of the main innovations of the new reformed CAP. And in them, the member states basically set out how they want to implement it on a national level. So it's basically, you could probably say, a means for them to push for things on a national level without having to find an agreement in Brussels. So Slovakia has said that it will make necessary adjustments to its strategic plan in the form of additional interventions and possibly also compensation tools for farmers hit by the crisis, although it's unclear whether the changes they're planning are also about weakening sustainability measures, as is this whole discussion that we just talked about. And meanwhile, Italy is actually going a step more radical. It said it's currently considering possibly redirecting the new CAP to focus more on supporting agricultural production. And the minister, Stefano Patuanelli, has also brought forth the idea that the entry into force of these new environmental measures, the eco schemes and so on, could maybe be postponed. So at the moment, it's set to come into force from the beginning of 2023. And he's basically dangled this idea of pushing it back to focus on production first. But of course, it's also a bit problematic from an administrative point of view or from the EU point of view. And the Commission has actually in the past come forth to say that it would be difficult to still make changes to these CAP plans since they've already been submitted to the Commission for approval. The deadline was beginning of January. Some countries were late, but most of them have submitted it now, including
actually the last one, Belgium, from Belgium is on the route, let's say, because they just waited for the Flanders, because I mean the agricultural policy in Belgium is divided. It's a shared competence both from the Wallonie and Flanders regions. So the strategic plan for the Flanders region has been submitted. So yeah, it's
so like half a country is still missing.
No, but Wallonie was already filed, if I remember correctly. So it's
okay. So
it's done. So I mean, the commission just have to. They probably already received it and assessed. So I think it's done.
Okay, so we can.
Yeah, so we can
say that it's they have been submitted.
Yeah. It's a fair assumption. Yeah. And the commission. I come back to the. I close the cap corner, and I come back to the farm to fork corner. The commission is actually quite split. I mean, we're talking about clash, so as we said, it's the keyword of the week. It's kind of split on whether, as Julia mentioned, there was this the same debate between the Agri Committee and the Envi Committee, and the same clash is basically replicated at the commission level with Frans Timmermans that. We heard from his voice last week in the podcast, saying, warning not to believe the illusion that you would help food production by making it less sustainable. So basically by not opting for farm-to-fork strategy. That's what he said. Yeah, yesterday, I mean, on Thursday, Wojciechowski, speaking before the MEPs in the Agriculture Committee, he said something quite different, basically the contrary, because it was asked by Herbert Dorfman, an Italian MEP and the spokesperson for agriculture issue, the commission, he was asked what the commission is planning to do when it comes to the implementation of the other legislative initiative in the context of the farm to fork strategy, with a reference, of course, to the pesticide, the SUD directive, the pesticide framework, and the nature restoration targets that are scheduled by next week on Wednesday. And there's this rumor that the commission is thinking of postponing both of them. And replying to Dorfman, Wojciechowski said, I quote him here, "Now we need to stop the procedure to suspend the procedure." So the Wojciechowski idea is to basically keep the core agri-food policy, the common agricultural policy, the strategic plans, as the only agri-food policy at the European level, for at least until June, and without adding anything more. So for adding anything more, the reference is, of course, to the implementation of the Farm to Fork, so directive, natural restoration target. So he concluded by saying, "This is my position in the commission, not to give more outside the strategic plans." So this is the position of, allegedly, the DG Agri. We know that Timmermans is not in favor of not relaxing, but also postponing the implementation of the Farm to Fork, the Green Deal, because the Farm to Fork is the food part of the Green Deal. And this is quite problematic, because yesterday, on Thursday, I asked the commission if they plan to postpone the SUD directive, the presentation of the pesticide framework. And I still haven't received any. So they still think about it. We don't know if there will be the unveiling of the revision of the pesticide framework. I also heard that we published, you remember, Julia, we published the leak last month. I also been told that the current proposal is completely different from the leak. Because of Ukraine. So, I mean, it's because also the push of some stakeholders, some member states, not to undermine productivity, because you never know what could happen.
Again, like you said, where the crisis has really given a new turn to a debate that was already super political and super polarized on the pesticide directive.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a major event, of course. I mean, it's probably the again, probably after the Second World War, we're talking about the biggest crisis in Europe. But yeah, it's completely changed the landscape. I mean, we published this leak like honestly 4 weeks ago. Eh? So again, we don't know yet what's going to happen next week. We know that it's packed with events because there's the Agri-Fish Council on Monday. So the gathering of EU ministers, EU agriculture minister in Brussels, they're going to discuss this, the tools that also the commission is planning to put forward. On the same day, on Monday, Wojciechowski anticipated that there's some kind of orientation debate, a special meeting of the commission to look at food security. I didn't understand if he was referring to the Agri-Fish Council or to the food expert group on food security expert group that was supposed to be scheduled by next Wednesday. I'm not sure, or it could be also a different meeting. There's, as we said, the planned food directive proposal and natural restoration targets. Natasha published a leak also on this 2 weeks ago. It's basically on the part on peatlands. It's very important. Again, non-productive areas. Eh? And there's also the summit. As we said, the EU leaders will be gathered again in Brussels to discuss the Russia's invasion of Ukraine, basically, because I mean, there's also Biden, the US president. So, and there's also on Wednesday a communication from the Commission on food security. So, stay tuned for the next weeks and for actually also the comeback of Natasha in the Agri-Food Podcast. So, Julia, for our flavor of the week, this week we have a very special guest.
Yeah, surprise guest coming on, actually. I'm quite excited. So I won't present her because I think she'll be able to present herself. And
She's very, I mean, everyone knows her, our listener. So this is our guest introducing the flavor of the week this week.
Surprise! Do you recognize the voice of this week's special guest? That's right, Julia and Gerardo cannot get rid of me that easily. So I'm here to talk to you and bring you our flavor of the week this week. And what are we talking about this week? Well, let me give you a clue. I'm always one for cheesy jokes, and I just have to say these flavors of the week keep getting fatter and fatter. That was particularly terrible, but okay, that's right, you probably got it, that this week we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, cheese, and more specifically feta, which honestly I couldn't have planned better, because this week I'm actually bringing you the flavor of the week from the homeland of feta, Greece, and actually more specifically from the airport in Greece. So if you hear any funny noises in the background, that explains it. So a quick background for those of you who don't know: feta is a Greek staple made out of the brined curd white cheese made from sheep's milk or a mixture of sheep and goat's milk. Feta, actually, the word in Greek means slice, and you can find a slice of feta, or a feta, I suppose, in a Greek salad, and also, you know, pretty much everywhere else in Greece. So though cheese made from sheep's or goat's milk is documented in Greece from the 8th century BC and was widely consumed in ancient Greece and later in Greek gastronomy, feta cheese in particular is first recorded in the Byzantine period under the name Prosphatos, which I probably just butchered. And fun fact for you all, in Homer's Odyssey, Polyphemus, the Cyclops, made sheep's milk cheese, which was probably a forerunner of feta, which he ripened on racks in his cave. So, you know, given this really rich culture and background and history, Greece is naturally very proud of its famous cheese and also very protective of it, which brings us nicely onto why we're talking specifically about feta this week. So feta was actually registered as a protected designation of origin, so that's PDO, back in 2002. Now this means the name feta can only be used for cheese originating in the specified geographical area in Greece and complying with the relevant product specification. However, Greece and Cyprus recently got salty with Denmark, claiming that it has breached this by failing to prevent or stop the use of the name feta for cheese produced in Denmark, but intended to be exported to third countries. Now that's key, because Denmark has tried to argue that this only applies to products sold in the EU and does not cover exports to third countries. But the EU's top court, the European Court of Justice, took the Mediterranean side in this dispute this week in an opinion that concluded that the regulation in fact does cover exports to third countries, although it also found that Denmark has not infringed on the duty of sincere cooperation, as was additionally claimed by the Commission. So I think it's safe to say with this opinion that Denmark's argument has somewhat crumbled. I'm sorry, this flavour of the week lends itself very well to puns, so, you know, sorry about that. And there you go, that's feta brought to you from on-the-ground reporting from Greece. But that's not quite the end of the story here, because, you know, this opinion basically proposes to the court a legal solution, but it's not binding. And so now the judges of the court are beginning their deliberations on this case, with the final ruling expected at a later date.
And that's all from us this week. This week, the AgriFood podcast is produced by Euractiv's AgriFood team, Gerardo Fortuna, Natasha Food, and Julia Dam, with the technical support of Evi Chiori. This podcast is also available on all major streaming platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Stitcher, and Spotify. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss the latest agriculture news from the EU. I'm Gerardo Fortuna. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.